This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We hear from a lot of you at sharpmoney@vsin.com that your favorite segment of the week here on Sharp Money is when our partner Mike Somich joins us on Fridays for the third and final hour of the week. And we enjoy it as well. We have a great camaraderie, a great friendship. Dustin Sweetelson live downtown at the D. Mike Somich, you can listen to him. He's brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line every Saturday and Sunday. Every Saturday and Sunday on the handle noon to three here on VSiN. He writes articles nonstop. And again, I've been battling COVID, so I hit Mike up and I said, I know you've handicapped Saratoga today. I want live bullets during the program. He started sending over bets. I'm going to get out of the way because I feel like I've just been trying to explain what has transpired over the last hour, and I'm just tired. Tired because I'm sick. Tired because I haven't eaten in 72 hours, and I'm tired trying to figure out exactly what the hell happened. So, Mike, I'm going to pass it over to you. Before you explain how Dustin backed his way into $700 today, maybe you could give the audience a little bit of a background on your horse racing acumen and talk about maybe some of the contests you've won and how much you've won. You know, this is not a time to be humble.
Well, I'll be quick here. So I professionally bet the horses for about 2.5 years. I have finished seventh at NHC, which is the most prolific tournament in the horse racing space. I have won multiple live handicapping tournaments. I've finished second in the Grade One Gamble, which is one of the bigger tournaments out there. I finished 20th at BCBC. So the laundry list of accomplishments inside the horse racing world. So Patrick reached out, hey, Spike, who do you like in the fifth race? I text over the two horse. The two horse ends up running second. The whole family gets in. That's all wonderful. So then it's like, okay, let's get it back. Who do you like in the sixth race? I say, look, the sixth horse is the favorite, rightly so, but I like the one horse at this price. So Dustin says, okay, cool. I'll bet them both. The race goes off. The one horse runs second. We all lament about it. Dustin opens up his app. He's $648 richer. He's like, how in the world did this happen? He bet both the one and six to win at Gulfstream. And in that sixth race at Gulfstream, the one horse won at 43-1. So he's like, you know what? I now have a strategy. I'm going to go ahead and take whoever Somich bets in the seventh race at Saratoga and bet him in the seventh at Gulfstream. I like the four in the seventh at Saratoga. And guess what? The four horse won the seventh at Gulfstream. Then I text over, hey, I like the eight in the eighth race at Saratoga. Guess who just won the eighth race at Gulfstream? The eight horse. So we're running the eighth at Saratoga right now. Looks like the five horse Malamu is going to get home. So they're actually the two now, Breath of Wow and the one. A good, exciting race from Saratoga. Nonetheless, we now have three straight races where my picks have won at Gulfstream instead of Saratoga. And Dustin has hacked horse racing and figured out how to win money. So he's up $700 betting my picks at Gulfstream when I like horses at Saratoga.
That's a beautiful, succinct explanation. And just to kind of pile on, Aaron Halterman, who literally runs racingdudes.com, said the 43-1 shot that Dustin bet on and won $648 might be the worst horse to ever run at Gulfstream Park. So not exactly promising. However, Dustin, you don't care. Cash and tickets is what it's all about.
No, and I went to look up the history of the horse. It's Something Blue or something like that. I looked it up in Equibase. The name of the horse is In the Blue. And In the Blue doesn't really have a rich history of racing. For its entire racing career, two whole races, the horse has won $420 total. I won $648 on its third race alone.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting show. Pride is something that sports bettors generally lean on. Ego is something sports bettors lean on. So, Mike, this has been a sobering few hours here.
You know, it's horse racing. You take your lumps every now and then. Right now, Dustin's got the hot hand. So I what I want to know is, who does Dustin like in Saratoga's ninth race? Because we're about 25 minutes to post to the ninth at Saratoga. We got to keep riding this streak for Dustin here. In the ninth, I like the seven horse at Saratoga, which means we should probably be betting the seventh at Gulfstream in the ninth.
So, Dustin, here's what I want you to do. We're 31 minutes to post in the ninth, so that will go off during our hour here on Sharp Money. I want you to take a look at the card right now. Saratoga, the ninth. It's 6 furlongs on the dirt. Short race, sprinters, 125K, so maybe some good horses in this race. I want you to go ahead and take a look at the card and let everybody know your handicapping process for the ninth.
Yeah, so there's two that stood out to me. One, Majestic Return, because I think I'm one of the few people on the planet who still says the word Majestic. I love Majestic. I think it's a great word. And the jockey's name is Kendrick, and Kendrick Lamar's had a really good year, so perhaps that horse has a good run. And I'm also into Tricky Temper, because I think we found ourselves in this position. This whole scenario played out because my Tricky Temper yesterday on the show, being annoyed at Samich for, yeah, butting my San Francisco Giants bet and saying he liked the first five minus a half run plus 130, better than me laying $1.20. My temper got the better of me, made me reevaluate my whole process here, realized I needed to wake up on this Friday and be a team player, be a part of the family, and roll with things. So I think because of that Tricky Temper, which started this whole thing at 4-1, that's going to be my play to win the nine at Saratoga.
Okay. Mike, did you want to give your play, and we'll move on to football?
The 7-horse is going to be a short price. 7-horse is 6-5. If I bet anyone to win here, and I probably am going to bet the 6-horse to win, especially if we get close to the 10-1 number there. So for me, I'm going to bet the 6 to win Majestic Return at 10-1.
But you said you like the 7?
I have the 7 on top, but the 7 is the favorite at 6-5, and I'm not a big favorite guy.
So I don't care about the 7 at that track. The 7 at Gulfstream, lock of the century, stone cold lock of my life. Number 7 is 40 Flash at Gulfstream. That is the play for us today. Mike has been red hot when it comes to picking the right number horse at the wrong track. We're going to ride the hot hand of Samich being in the wrong location, turn on Waze, get to the right track, and number 7, 40 Flash is the play today at Gulfstream. Race 9.
Yeah, currently 9-1 in the ninth race at Gulfstream. I'm going to go with my number. 9-1 in the ninth race at Gulfstream. You're 12 minutes to post from that spot.
Okay, by the way, just to kind of edification purposes here, Dustin had titled Lady in the 8th at Saratoga, and he ran dead last. So
hold on, time out though. That was a real misclick in real time. I thought it was Tilted Lady, not Titled Lady. I don't like Titled Lady for name. I thought it was Tilted. Tilted made more sense based on what was playing out.
It's all good, big guy. Trust me, $700 on misclicks is something I've never heard before. So let me be serious for a second, then we'll get into the preseason. I know you got a bunch of bets for tomorrow, Mike Samich. Horse racing and horse racing handicapping. The reason I believe that you've parlayed your career as a horse racing handicapper into such a good sports bettor is because it is just such an arduous process. Like, and when I say pouring over a card on a Saturday or Sunday is so time consuming and arduous because it oftentimes, like if you hit 52% of your bets when we're talking football or whatever, you know, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. Horse racing, you can go a long time in between wins. And I do think with all the preparation that goes into it, one score can make up for all of it, but you have to have a certain type of temperament to be betting horses.
You do, especially depending on what you bet. So if you're a win bettor, you're going to be able to score specific races. You hopefully hit 2-3 a day, and you're able to make money off of that. But it really teaches you discipline, which is an important part of sports betting as well, because not every single race you want to be betting. You want to be figuring out, okay, where do I like horses? Who do I think is the better horse in this spot? And what is the value of that horse? It's just like in football, we talk about, well, if the market likes a team and you like a team, there's probably not value in betting that team. You need to find situations where your opinion differs from the market. It's same with horse racing, and the market in horse racing is so fluid because it's a parimutuel market. So as money enters the pool, the odds of these horses change. Essentially, you take the entire value of the pool and then you divide it by the number of winning tickets, and that's what it pays out. So you're not betting against a sports book. You're betting against everyone else who's around you. So you have to be even more focused on price shopping. But to me, horse racing is all about big scores. I like to play pick fours, pick fives. Last couple days have been great for me at Saratoga. I've cashed over $5,000 in tickets at Saratoga the last 2 days playing those bets. I had a cold streak for about 2 weeks, but those 2 days pay for more than just those 2 weeks. And in horse racing, you got to just kind of stick with it and watch replays and watch races and handicap jockeys and trainers and all of these other aspects and try and get better and better at it so that you feel like you do have an edge when the races go off.
That's a perfect explanation and an apropos pimp job by you with the 5,000 plus won over the last couple of days based on what's happened today. I think that's important. But you mentioned even watching race replays. These guys grind. They go through. They watch the last time out for these horses to see if they potentially could improve. And one thing I will say about horse racing, when it hits, there's no feeling like it. Like, you can hit a big parlay, you can hit something else in another sport, but when that pick five comes through, it's exhilarating, Mike.
Yeah, it is. I not my biggest score, but I scooped the pick six at Aqueduct for about 35,000 one day, which means that you play a pick six, so the winner of six straight races for a dollar. I was the only winning ticket in the entire world on that one day in that pick six. One of the best feelings in the world, because you were the only person who was able to solve that puzzle over six races. So there is nothing like being right in horse racing, because you got to be lucky too. I mean, you got to make sure your horse gets the trip, that you don't get cut off, they break well. There's all these other aspects that have to go right for you to be able to cash those big tickets. But it is such a rush, and the sweat when you're playing pick fours or pick fives or pick sixes, the 30 minutes leading up to that last race, when you know that you're $72 bet, $140 bet, whatever it is, that ticket now could be worth $20,000 in literally 30 minutes. That 30 minutes of anticipation is one of the best feelings in horse racing.
It really is. You've been a good sport today. We've been having fun with it, but this has been a hell of a two hours and 11 minutes. So just quickly, the 9th, 24 minutes to post. The big guy is on the 4 at 5-2, Tricky Temper with Flavien Prat up top. And again, quickly, Mike, you're on whom in the 9th?
I'm going to be on the 6 horse here, assuming the price holds. Right now it's 13-1, Majestic Return.
Okay. When we come back, you are on the first half. Now, the Lions Chiefs jumped all the way, Chiefs 3.5 up to 7. We're going to go to the first half in that preseason game. Coming back, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Somich, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. I mean, I guess you can call week two of the preseason the dress rehearsal. It's just been handled so differently. Of course, Somich brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. Mike, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but McVay, he does not take the preseason seriously. And in game two of the preseason against the Chargers, he's not going to be coaching his team. So that just gives you a different feel for what these coaches and how these coaches approach it. Now, I want to talk about Kansas City hosting Detroit. Campbell's not interested in playing anybody. We know that. Kansas City has come out. Andy Reid had said that the starters are going to play in the first half, and that includes Patrick Mahomes. Now, we don't know if Mahomes is going to be playing the whole first half, but you have a leg up with starters, for the most part, playing in the first half. And that points us to the wild swing. 3.5 on the opener for the Chiefs, jumped all the way up to 7. So we're going to stay away from the full game because the second half, again, not going to be starters for either team. And you're going to focus on the Chiefs in the first half here hosting the Lions.
Yeah, I absolutely love this number. I was shocked when I was going through books and looking at numbers for these preseason games that the first half wasn't Chiefs minus 7 or Chiefs minus 6.5, somewhere in that range. I fully expected that we're going to get a number that was very close to the full game total. And that's not something that's unusual in the preseason. If you go back and you look at preseason games, first half versus full game spread, a lot of times they're going to be the same or a half point different, especially when you get word that starters are going to be in for a full half. Because if that comes across the line, what you're really betting is that first half, that you think the team has an edge, and then we'll basically be able to play the second half at even. Well, I'm looking around books, and you can find Chiefs minus 3.5. You can find Chiefs minus 4.5 plus 100. I mean, it's unbelievable how inefficient this first half market is compared to the full game. And it's one of the reasons I love betting the preseason. You have inefficient underlying markets in the preseason, and this is a great example of it. This Chiefs first half should be either minus 6.5 or minus 7, 110. Should be in that range. The fact that you're getting a full complement of the starters for the Chiefs for a full half, which is what Andy Reid has said, and you're not laying the full game price, or at least right next to the full game price, is absolutely wild to me. So I have a very large Chiefs minus 4.5 plus 100 first half bet here. I feel like this is one of those inefficient markets, and keep an eye on it. I'd be willing to bet this kicks off at minus 6 or higher in the first half once we get closer to kickoff.
That's a tremendous breakdown. So 4.5 on the Chiefs in the first half. Big guy, you're on the same play.
Yeah, I want to talk to Mike about this because I think betting full games, especially if you're going to lay a number in the preseason, feels like living a little too dangerously for me. If things are going to get weird and your handicap is going to be off, it's because of that third, fourth string, guys who are never going to be on an NFL roster messing it up on either side of the ball, right? You can't account for all the variables at play that deep down the depth chart. So I like this play as well. Laying 4.5 in the first half when you know you're getting the starters, but even if Mahomes is only there for a series or two, we're talking about Carson Wentz. We're talking about a receiving core that is super deep while not all that special, was good enough, you know, to win a Super Bowl a year ago. So I look at the depth and all that, and I look at Detroit. They have questions at corner when it comes to health and how many guys are available. I think KC is going to willingly move the ball and be able to score early. And then the ultimate thing with Detroit in the preseason, they want to be the Chiefs. They cannot risk anyone in a game like this to go down and lose them for chunks of this season. So they're going to be very conservative with who's out there. I love the Chiefs in the first half.
Yeah, Dustin, it's we talk about with baseball, right? Bet your handicap. We talk about when you're handicapping starting pitchers, bet the first five unders if that's what you like. If you focus in on something and you can't actually bet what your focus is in the handicap, make sure you bet it. Well, the handicap, yep. The reason why the Chiefs went from 3.5 to 7 is because the first half is going to be played by the starters. Why bet the second half? Why bet something where your handicap is not involved? You need to focus on where your handicap is. In my case, I'm handicapping the Chiefs ones versus the Detroit twos and threes. That's the part of the game I want to bet on. I don't want to bet on the rest of it. I just want to bet on where I can focus in on that handicap. To me, that's Chiefs minus 4.5, first half, plus 100. Phenomenal number, considering what you're seeing as the full game number. And I get to just bet where I think the advantage is.
Okay. You've got the Steelers. So this is interesting. So tomorrow night, Buffalo's at Pittsburgh. I don't know if we've got right now Pittsburgh laying 1.5. Now there's ones in the market as well. Just quickly, Tomlin has said he is going to play the starters and Russ is going to play here. Do you have a play on first half full game, Mike Somich?
I like the Steelers in this spot, but it makes me feel like information just came out if
yes.
The game's at 1 or 1.5.
So that's why I wanted to lay it out for you. Yeah,
I will withhold. I like the Steelers in this spot. I saw it as low as 3. It was up to 5.5 at one point. Now we're sitting at 1. So I played the Steelers. I would not play the Steelers at 1 because there's some new information and that's why the line has moved. So I originally was expecting to see Wilson and Fields go for the Steelers and not to see Josh Allen. I'm wondering if we're going to see Josh Allen now, and that's the information that's come out. But I like the Steelers if there's no Josh Allen, especially around the 3 number. But at the 1 number, I would hold off on betting it because there is information that I don't have when I sent that over to you.
Yeah, the screen's lighting up like crazy. We're going to find information for you, but the number is running absolutely towards the Bills right now. So I think that's a perfect explanation. We'll lay off right now because you had it 5.5. It's dipped all the way down to 1 at a few shops with Pittsburgh laying it. So news on the Bills, and Dustin has the news in real time.
Yeah, I just saw this from Athlon Sports that Bills to play Josh Allen starters against the Steelers. That's exactly what's going down.
Okay, so the information, again, this is a very fluid market. A lot of you're not going to see this type of movement in the regular season. That's the good news. However, if you can use this information to your advantage, it's also good news in the preseason. It's messy in the streets is one way of putting it. Now, this isn't a game that's on your official plays over at Best Bets on VSiN.com, but I did want to bring up your Raiders. That is your team in our little contest amongst the three of us. If we're trying to pinpoint motivation, look, I don't agree with what Antonio Pierce is doing by essentially giving himself a deadline in the media and essentially saying, I'm going to name a starter after week 2. Cowboys at the Raiders. So you're going to get the best of O'Connell. You're going to get the best of Gardner Minshew. And the number right now is 6.5. Little surprise you're not laying it with me and the big guy with the Raiders in 6.5.
I laid it yesterday on Lombardi line. That's not why I'm not laying it here today. So yeah, the 6.5 already in the account here with the Raiders for a lot of the reasons that you said. I expect a very, very keyed up Raiders team here, specifically the 2 quarterback positions. There's word that we may see a half of each of these quarterbacks, which means that either O'Connell or Minshew is going to get a full second half against the second and third string Cowboys. Cowboys got 4 interceptions against the Rams last week and still lost when McVay doesn't care about the football game at all. I am over the Trey Lance experiment. That was absolutely atrocious last week. He's expected to play large chunks of this game again for the Cowboys. Yeah, to me, this is an easy one. We lay the Raiders 6.5. This will be 7 by kickoff as well, as we're starting to see juice come in on the 6.5 on the Raiders side.
Yep. So get in on the 6.5 before it jumps up to that, you know, key numbers when we're talking the preseason, a little dicey, but certainly a number you'd rather lay the 6.5 than the 7. So there it is, big guy. And again, I just the theory of what different approaches. I'm not really going to knock a first year head coach that's coming off those tobacco vibes in Vegas. But the idea of putting it out there to the media that you put a stipulation upon yourself with naming a starter, it feels like a rookie move.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love everything the Raiders are doing, Patrick. They're winning over 6.5 this year. Honestly, I kind of feel like it's a little bit of a pressure test for Aiden O'Connell. It's hey, let's see when he knows his job is on the line, how is he going to play in this one game? I think the Raiders and the organization want Aiden O'Connell. I think they realize Gardner Minshew's the better quarterback. And it's really like, look, Minshew has a much higher floor than Aiden O'Connell. I think they want to see what they can get to around Aiden O'Connell's ceiling and what it is there. This is, in my mind, a way to call him out in the preseason. Say, hey, can you hack it right now, one game, get it done, and you can start for this team. I hope it's Minshew. I want it to be Minshew because, like I said, the floor is higher here with the Raiders if he makes it out there. But I don't mind the move by Pierce in this spot.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you about Minshew. I genuinely believe Indy didn't want to have the conversation. Flacco, at this point in his career, is comfortable with being a backup. It's Richardson's team. Move away from Minshew because that is a dude that almost had you in the postseason last year. So I understand that. Dustin, quickly on the quarterbacks to take the first snap, is Minshew still a slight favorite over O'Connell?
Yeah, we're looking at about minus 125. On Minshew, where you can get minus 105 on O'Connell, which is just crazy because let's also remember the other money involved aside from betting, $25 million two-year contract for Gardner Minshew. He's going to come here and back up Aiden O'Connell?
Yeah, I don't see it, frankly. And also, you just think about the organization and philosophically, Samich, it's like you could be fired one and done with the Raiders. You're Antonio Pierce. You're going to feel much more comfortable with Minshew out there.
Yeah, he to me is the easy choice here at quarterback. We saw enough of O'Connell to understand what his ceiling was, I felt like, last year, and it's not very high. I think that Pierce just wants to say, hey, I'm going to give a chance to my guy. I'm going to try and be loyal because that's a big way of how he coached. But in the end, I do think it's going to be Minshew, and I think they're going to win 8 games, Patrick.
I know you do. We're going to come back with the Giants-Texans. Also, 10 minutes to post in race 9 at Saratoga. So drama. It continues. Halterman, Zippit, and Joplin. We're back here on Sharp Money. Okay, you're soon to be looking live at a reality TV star. His name is Mike Somich. Episode 1 of Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million, will make its debut coming up on Monday on VSiN. Of course, the 5-part docuseries takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circa Survivor contest. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Now, several VSiN hosts make appearances, including Mike Somich, along the way to offer their advice. Watch Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million on Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on VSiN.com. You can watch it on YouTube TV, which I have, and I'll be watching as well. We're going to broadcast it live on X at VSiN Live. But again, the irony, well, there's a lot of irony about VSiN talent being on reality shows. There's certainly some irony there. Mike, you missed it a little bit earlier. Mike Somich, of course, joining us, host of The Handle here on Sharp Money. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. So last year when our program, The Quest for $9.2 million Circa Survivor, was being filmed, Dustin was donking around Circa Casino with Donk Smalls, you know, the girl that posts thirst traps all over the internet. And he was a part of a production for another reality show. That reality show is not going to see the light of day, and you will star in the Circa Survivor reality show coming up on VSiN on Monday night. Congratulations, Mike.
Yeah, I think we pumped the brakes on Star. I think I'm on it for like maybe 30 seconds of total airtime there on the first show. But I remember when Dustin was filming that. I do. I went to Circa. I was there. I went over there. And then Dustin's like, you got to back up, man. We're about to do a shot here. And I got kind of pushed out of the way of the VIP area so that they could do their shot for a show that will never air. Well, I was just literally like, hey, do you want to get the content in real quick? I'm like, sure, I'll talk for a couple minutes about Survivor. And here we are. We're going to be randomly on this documentary. I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Mike, I would say don't downplay 30 seconds, as I told my ex-girlfriend. 30 seconds still counts.
So the Giants are at Houston coming up tomorrow. And so let's talk about the Giants-Houston game, week two. Houston's laying 3, hosting the G-Men. Total is, you could find a 40. I'm seeing mostly 39.5, so do with that information what you will. You've got a first quarter play here. Let's just talk about what to expect. First off, with his return to practice this week, the expectation that Jones is going to return, of course, coming off the ACL, they're going to want to catch him up to speed a little bit here. So Jones, my assumption is a couple of series here. You're probably not going to see Malik Nabers. So you're going to see a lot of Jalin Hyatt, Isaiah Hodgins. But we're not going to focus on the full game. We're not going to focus on the first half here, Samich. We're going to focus on the first quarter total.
Yeah, last I heard, Jones is expected to get 4 series in this game. So should play all of at least the first quarter, probably into the second if you're looking at 4 full series. C.J. Stroud going to go for Houston with their number ones on the offensive side as well. Again, focus on where your bet is, on where your handicap is. My bet here is that the ones for the Giants and the Texans on the offensive side will be able to effectively move the football against the defenses here. So I want the first quarter over here, sitting at 7.5 right now. You can get +110 on that number. So I'm going to take first quarter over Giants-Texans +110 at 7.5.
Okay, we move to the big guy. By the way, I'm continuing with my blanket approach here. I'm going to find that 40 and go under full game in this one. Park the bus in the second half. Big guy, you're on the G-men.
Well, let's remember that the Houston Texans are already 2 games into their preseason, right? Whereas a lot of these teams have 1 game under your belt, and I think that's important when you look at how they're going to handle this matchup with the Giants. We will see Danny Dimes get a look at him with the new knee, but remember Tommy DeVito's still there, and Tommy DeVito might have ruined my life as a Giants fan a year ago, because had he not backed himself into a couple of victories along the way, Caleb Williams could have just as likely been a New York Giant, right? They had a chance to be the top pick in the draft. So Tommy DeVito can play for the preseason when we consider the talent he's going up against. Davis Mills dealing with a rib injury is what I read. So that's an issue here at play for Houston. Tim Boyle, Case Keenum, the other backups. I just see the Giants as a team that have a lot of guys fighting for spots to make this roster, and Houston can't afford to lose anyone, so that's the mentality I'm looking at them going into this game with. So I'm going to take the 3 points with the Giants, because it's a coin flip, and to me, taking those points with the Giants will matter in a close preseason game.
Okay, beautiful. Just quickly, those of you that have been following the horse racing drama at Gulfstream and Saratoga today on the program, we are just about to load the gate in the 9th at Saratoga. Now, to be fair to Mike, he's taken a shot with Majestic Return at 12-1 on the board right now. The big guy, the second betting favorite, the 4-horse, Tricky Temper, Flavian Prott up at 2-1. Lalo with Jose Ortiz is 4-5. On the 7, Mike Samich.
Yeah, 7's a deserving favorite here. I just don't like to play 4-5 shots in most races. Rarely are they justified to be 4-5. Yes, the 7 has the best chance to win, but would need to win around 55-60% of the time for you to be profitable in this spot. Hard to win a horse race 60% of the time, no matter how good you are here. So let's take a shot here with Majestic Return, the 6 horse, 12-1 right now. Horse that wasn't great last time out, but we're looking for a bounce back effort here. Dustin on the 2-horse Tricky Temper, now 5-2, is a horse that should be come from off the pace, should be plenty of pace to chase, so don't hate it. But I'll take a little bigger of a shot here with the 6.
And again, perfect explanation. When you're betting those horses sub even money, you have to win a lot. And so that was the percentage that Samich just threw at you. 5-2, so 2.5-1 on Dustin's Tricky Temper, who he's been scouting for a while. Is that true, Dustin?
What were the odds on Tricky Temper?
But you should know.
5-2.
It's your horse.
5-2.
Yeah, 5-2. Yeah.
So that's okay. Not crazy. Pretty solid.
Not 43-1.
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to deeper shots on the board coming through, so I'm being a little conservative here. But it's just that's the read I have on the race. I can only look at these things in a vacuum. Based on the options in this one race, that's the one that jumped out to me, Tricky Temper.
Yeah, and Aaron Halterman, his favorite quote of the day from you, when the last race at Saratoga was coming up, you said, "I'll find us a winner."
Don't worry.
I'll find us a winner. Okay, we'll keep you updated on the 9th at Saratoga. I'm actually pulling. I want Samich to win this one. That'd be a nice shot. The betting has now closed on this race, so Samich, you'll be following along there, no doubt. It is just 6 furlongs, so if they're off, why don't we go ahead and let them know what's happening in the race there, Samich?
Yeah, we are off right now. Majestic Return in the lead. Lilo sitting on the outside. Tricky Temper in fourth. You got Security Code, the two horse on the rail. Opening quarter, 23-2. The 6th, Majestic Return, opens up by a full length. The 7, Lilo, trying to chase from the outside. Now we got a move here coming from the 5 horse, going 3 wide toward the top. But Majestic Return still holding on to the lead, heading into the stretch. Lilo looming up big time, though. The 7 looks like he's going to be pretty strong here. 6 and 7, 1 and 2. Now the 4 makes a move on the outside, and Tricky Temper takes over.
You're kidding.
The 4 horse opens up by about a length over the 7. The 7 trying to re-rally, but the 4 horse, Tricky Temper,
I'm the greatest horse better alive. That's 3 wins today. I don't think I had a win in my history of betting horses.
Holy crap. You just beat a 4-5 shot with Tricky Temper in the 9th at Saratoga. A nice valiant effort from the 6 at 11-1. But so much, I can't believe. Did you bet it, big guy?
I did. I always bet it. Vibes.
What'd you put on it?
Vibes.
What'd you put on it?
15 again. I kept the unit size the same because it worked in the first.
Of course you did.
So 15 is going to return around 45 for the big guy. So big guy up to around $750 in winnings on the ponies here in the last 2 hours.
There were a couple losses in there. There was a couple losses, but it's been a very good day. Ice Cube would be proud.
Gosh. The change in Mike's tone as the 4 down the stretch was absolutely loaded was one of my favorite things that's ever happened in my broadcast career. Just crestfallen from the race caller.
He tilted out 3 wide, and that thing was over. He was in 3rd place, but you could see the strides were just lengthening, and it's just like, yep, this is going to happen. Right now, this is going to happen.
The big guy's going to add close to $50 to his account on Tricky Temper, and his quote right before the race went off, "Wait, what's the number?"
I had no idea. Didn't I had to look up what horse it was, what number race it was. I don't even remember who the jockey is. Is it Flavian Pratt? I don't know.
Yeah, Flavian Pratt.
That's the only one I know. So that
And
helps.
What country is he from?
Ecuador.
Close. France.
Oh.
So.
Close.
Oui, oui.
Yeah.
All right.
Almost
well,
the right hemisphere.
That just happened. Dustin just beat a 4-5 shot, and Samich is Samich was excited about that 6 horse. Then all of a sudden down the stretch, he goes, and the 4 is loaded. And did they win? The vibes exactly right from the big guy. That is incredible. That's a tremendous job. When we come back, we've got baseball on the docket. Also a double result from Samich with the Browns in the preseason. As we continue, it's been quite a program. Shout out to Aaron Halterman. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So it's been a fun Friday, to say the least. An interesting Friday. Dustin just picked up an extra $51 on the 4 horse in the 9th race at Saratoga. So we're going to get back into preseason week 2. We've got bets. Progressive Guest Line brings you Mike Samich, Dustin Sweetelson at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. We've also got baseball plays and a couple of family plays. We'll close tabs on the way out. The best you can you explain the $4,000 payoff down at Gulfstream, Mike Samich?
Up the process of this show. And in the 6th race at Saratoga, I said bet the 1. The 1 horse won the 6th at Gulfstream. In the 7th race at Saratoga, I said, go ahead and bet the 4. The 4-1 at Gulfstream. The 8th race at Saratoga, I said bet the 8. The 8-1 at Gulfstream. The 9th race at Saratoga, I bet the 6. Guess who won the 9th race at Gulfstream? The 6 horse. If you had put 50 cents down on the 1-7-4-6 pick 4 at Gulfstream, the last 4 races there, it would have returned $4,200. Basically 8,400 to 1 for that combination at Gulfstream at the wrong racetrack from the Saratoga picks. Just wild that that actually happens. We could do this show a million times. That probably would not happen again if you picked one track and took a pick from one place and just inserted them in another.
This has been the most random. I'm 46. I started betting when I'm like 13, 14 years old. This has been the most random turn of events, big guy, in my life.
Well, I would just say you're underselling my ability to spot trends. And when trends arise, which is that Mike keeps hitting horses at one track to come in second place and then picking the right horses at the wrong track, that's the trend that just was an outlier to me. You know, my brain's a little bit different than the rest of you. I see things different. Sure. I see like a fourth dimension on this planet while you're all living in 3D. And I was able to use the information Mike was using at Saratoga and apply it to Gulfstream. And that's why I've had a winning day. So I thank Mike, but I ultimately want to thank the number one reason why this has happened. And that would be the vibes. The vibes are immaculate. It's what happens when you open yourself up to being a team player.
Good point. Good point. I can't take shots at you today. Even though you're running out of steam with the plexing there, I still can't take shots because you're on a heater the likes I have never seen before.
Can't teach it. I can't teach it. Sorry, it's just something I was born with. Maybe it's Maybelline,
like Caleb
maybe I
Williams.
Was born with it.
He was born to play the position. You were born to fade Mike at the wrong racetrack.
Yes.
Let's get to your last place, Samich, in the pre. Minnesota at the Browns. The Browns are laying 3 across the board, 34 all the way up to 35 on the total, and you got a double result here.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Browns, win the first half, win the full game here in this spot. Look, the Vikings have been decimated this week by injury. McCarthy with the knee out for the year. Addison going to be injured for this game in a walking boot right now. They're not risking anyone on the offensive side of the ball. On the other side here, you've got the Browns. We'll see who we end up getting here. It sounds like it's going to be Jameis Winston into Tyler Huntley into DTR. I'm happy with that quarterback combination. Pretty good for a preseason team running those three out there. I like the Browns' depth on the defensive side as well, considering we're probably going to see a lot of their twos. So for me, this is a pretty easy spot here. Back the Browns first half to win the first half, to win the full game, plus 110 right now in the double result.
Okay, a little double result for Mike Samich at plus 110. On the Browns coming up on Saturday. All right, boys, I'm exhausted. Again, we're closing in on 72 hours with the hunger strike, but I'm doing it for you, Mike Samich. I'm doing it for you, Dustin Sweetelson, and the rest of the country, as I don't feel like enough over the past 4.5 years has been made about COVID, so I've decided to take a stand, and I'm starving myself because I can't taste anything. Kind of a weird approach from your boy, but I feel gluttonous when I eat where I can't taste, so it's going to be a long weekend, Swede.
Oh, I got hit with a Swede. That means someone's either exhausted or in a good mood. I can't tell either one. We've got a family play we have to get to because while we're giving props on the show, we do have to give props to Aaron Halterman last night. Two run lines come in at massive prices for Aaron Halterman. So he's starting to heat up with baseball. The Orioles minus 1.5 plus 150. A great day for him. He's going to go with another play on a team he likes to win the World Series with his Sharp Money family play for today.
Sharp Money family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Let's round out the week and try to get a winner home here with my Arizona Diamondbacks as they go on the road to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. They're minus 115 on the money line. That's what I'll do today. You also play a minus 1.5 for plus 150. I don't hate that either, but I'll stick with the money line here. Ryan Pepio on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's coming off the injured list. He hasn't pitched in about a month, so we'll see if he can kind of come back strong. He may need a start before you really see him at his best, and that could be bad news if he does, because Arizona has been hitting the ball like crazy lately. I expect that to continue. I really feel like this is a team that we've talked about it. The lineup has gotten hot, and I think facing a pitcher off the injured list today, I think, is a good sign. Ryan Nelson on the mound for Arizona. He's a definition of average, basically. He's not going to blow you away, but I think if he pitches well here, the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to get it done. So give me the Arizona Diamondbacks -115 for my best bet of the day.
Okay, racingdudes.com for big horse racing over the weekend. Aaron Halterman, Jared Welch. He likes a short price with the snakes coming up this evening. Fellas, if you want to squeeze in a few baseball plays, feel free. I'll get out of the way, and then we'll close some tabs.
Real quick, I like the Diamondbacks as well. I'm with Halterman on that one. I'm going to end up backing them. The bats are hot. Tampa Bay's bats have faded post-deadline. Lineup's not the same, and I think Pepiot's a solid pitcher. But Ryan Nelson started to step up for them. I will take that price on the offense that I expect to outlast the Tampa bats.
Yeah, I've got three plays here from the diamond today. First one for me, give me the Reds first five -0.5 run. Martinez on the mound for the Reds. His underlying bet number is actually better than his 3.16 ERA on the season. You got Lorenzen on the hill for Kansas City. The Royals been a much different team away from home this year. They're two under 500 away from home, 13 over when they're at home. On the road against the Reds today, so we'll take the Reds first five -0.5 +105. Then we'll go back to one of our favorite bets here. Will the Orioles bat in the bottom of the ninth? No. We've got Corbin Burns on the mound today. -180 right now, the line. You can get them. Will they bat in the bottom of the ninth? No. -130. So able to save 50 cents juice there. Like the matchup against Boston for the Orioles today. And then finally, let's go to the everyone's favorite team, the Chicago White Sox here. They've got Crochet on the mound taking on Arrigetti. Arrigetti, generally an over pitcher. The White Sox lineup, absolutely atrocious, so I'm not too worried about it. Crochet been still pitching well for the White Sox even after the trade deadline. Let's take the first five under four here, -103. Make sure you shop around on this one. You can get first five under 3.5 at places like DraftKings. That's under 3.5 +120, but there are fours out there -103 on that. So first five under four, -103 for White Sox Astros, the third play for me.
If you missed any of those bets, you can find them over at VSiN.com with our best bets across not just Sharp Money, every show here on VSiN, every show, every guest. If they give a pick, it goes up on the sheet. Dustin, it's been a banner day for you, so I think the floor is yours with closing tabs.
Okay.
Keep it going, big guy.
Emails, sharpmoney@vsin.com. Alan Castle writes in, I could watch you guys do horses nonstop every day. I would say, Alan, get used to it. Lots more pony betting on the program. Bo Palika, friend of the show. I used Dustin's advice and bet the 6-horse at Gulfstream in the ninth. It hit 3-1. Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Mike Somich, for being correct at the wrong track. Let's see. Some other stuff that we do have to touch on today. Happy birthday, James Cameron. Happy birthday, Madonna. Happy birthday, Steve Carell. Finally,
hold on. Let's take a guess. Madonna, you know the age. Somich, how old do you think Madonna is?
62.
I'm going to say 61.
She is 66 and has a new 28-year-old boyfriend. Good for her.
Damn. All right, what else?
RG3 was fired for Lady and Tramping a Croissant at ESPN. I don't actually know if that's why he was fired. What's the dumbest thing either of you have ever been fired for?
I've never been fired.
Of course not.
Being untalented? I've been fired. what else is going on?
I got fired as a camp counselor. I let my kids I was watching do drugs and hook up with girls in the woods.
If you didn't think Dustin asked the two of us that question so he could get a zing
just
in,
so he could answer it.
Yeah, attention. He doesn't care what anybody
as I learned
has to say.
When someone asks you a question like, what do you think of Tulane football this year? You should never ask someone a question that you yourself don't have the answer to. So
right, but a little bit of a flex, bad boy. I'll let people do drugs. Cool, big guy.
I mean, I got fired for it. I really liked that job. It was fun. Let's see. Final one here for closing tabs. You know, Patrick, you opened the show and you said, can someone pick me up? Can someone pick me up today? And I do have to say, Mike helped, but if we're going to be honest, one person carried the load today. That was me. And because of that, my back's kind of sore, so I'm going to have to fix that over the weekend.
Massage money.
I won't get into the details, but I think the problem's already been accomplished. I think you've already made an appointment online. Somich, The Handle, noon to 3 tomorrow and Sunday. Great job by you, Sweetelson. Unbelievable work on a Friday. We'll see you on Monday right here. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Good luck this weekend.